Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And let me just clear something up right off the bat here.
Sure,
as we,
go ahead.
Begin this week. I did not pick the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals in the East. That was Mike Harmon who picked the Bucks on the show in our big NBA preview. He picked the Bucks to go to the Finals. I said, dude, you really look what could happen when they play the Nets. They could lose a game by 39. You said, no, shut up, Jason. I'm picking the Bucks. I said, nah, I'm telling you, man, you might not want to. The Nets, they look like they're ready to explode, even if one of the big three gets hurt. I don't know no, I want the Bucks. You kept saying it. I want the Bucks. And I told you not to pick the Bucks to go to the finals, and you did.
What's worse, buddy? What's worse, a nonsensical hot take or just out-and-out lying?
Oh, it's not a lie if you believe it.
No, that's true. Okay. So as long as you want to keep believing that, that's fine. Look, before the season,
I completely said, don't take the Bucks.
Love the Nets, and then decided, well, everybody's taking the Nets, so screw this. So I had the supremely dysfunctional Miami Heat in the East, which were vanquished by your Bucks. And now we have this disaster tonight. Just an absolute... Hey, what gets you through the season? Our size, our ability to compete in the low post. You know what we're going to do? We're going to try to match outside shooting with this team. Watch how that's going to happen.
I'll tell you, if you said to me a week ago, all right, you know, my picks for the NBA Finals were the Bucks and the Clippers, right? I picked Bucks and the Clippers. If you said to me a week ago, all right, you have to take every dollar you own and put it on one of these two teams to make the finals, I would have taken. Oh, I said, well, that's easy. I take all my money, I put it on the Bucks, and I push it in, right? Hey, I'm going up. Bucks look great in the first round. The Nets are injured. They got problems. Yeah, the Clippers, come on. Clippers might even make it out of the first round. Luka Doncic is doing all kinds of great things. A week later, I'd be, I'm ruined. I've just ruined my family because I bet on the wrong team.
You'd have the opportunity to build it up again. Oh. You'd be a great American success story.
Oh, a week ago, I would have said, oh, no, Bucks. Yeah, if I got to pick between the Bucks and the Clippers, but look at the Clippers. If you had the Bucks tonight and you were getting 40, you won. If you were you had the Bucks tonight and you were getting 38, sorry, you lost. 125-86 is the final score. This game was never close. Brooklyn just hits all kinds of threes to start the game. Look, how do you talk about this game? It's pretty easy. Brooklyn shot 21 out of 42 from three-point range. That's the game. I mean, that's everything. That's the game right there. And the Nets, even without James Harden, who knows when he's going to come back, with Kyrie, Kevin Durant's got 32, and he looked tonight clearly like he was a guy on a mission. And the Nets just hit everything they possibly could think about from three-point range. Even Blake Griffin hit a three. There was nothing they couldn't do tonight. And now the Bucks are going home going, what's just happened to us? What has just happened? We were feeling great, and now the Nets are two-thirds their team. They're still missing the big guy, the best guy supposed to make them a title contender, and they just blew the crap out of us by 40. Oh, we are in a lot of trouble. This is a shocking start to this series for the Bucks, and clearly, you know, look, for everybody who wants to walk around and go, okay, the Nets here, the Nets here, you know, we all want to point to what players could leave, what players could wind up staying, what players could wind up going, all of these things, all this stuff happened. It's like, oh man, now it's like we don't know what's going on. You know, I mean, you look at where the Bucks are with how it, trying to build for the future, and how many years have you gone through this now and you've not been able to build. This is a really difficult zip lead to go to, because clearly the Nets can get the players to go play there. I mean, look, they had no players a year ago. They had no players. It's like they were an expansion team. They had no players. And here they are now. Hey, guess what? We're up 2-0. We're steaming on to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Bucks, who have been trying so hard to build around Giannis for so long.
Yeah.
It's like, let's put this. Oh, it's so important to put this piece in and this piece in. And let's do this and put this piece in. This. Oh, this is careful. Okay, let's take a, let's take out these pieces and put this piece in. And they still can't get there. And the Nets are like, yeah, we're just going to start over with three guys, and yeah, we're better. I mean, it's really frustrating if you think about the Bucks taking all these years to build on Giannis. The Nets just say, oh yeah, we're just making just make some instant coffee. That's just as good.
You bring in Holiday, you have all these moves that are like, all right, they're so much better than last year. That was great. They won the rematch against Miami. And now it's another step up in class. And to your point about the Nets, remember what they sent to the bubble? Hey, anybody want to play for us? Anybody going to show up? Like, that was just an absolute mess trying to figure out even putting a squad together. And then just like that, you snap your fingers. These guys come back healthy and go through. And showing once again the regular season, it's a nice entertainment vehicle. But there was no feeling out process in this game. This is what isn't Mayweather and Paul and all the belly aching on money spent there by folks that throw $50 away on a drink and a burger every weekend. Just quiet. You liked it, or as Durant would say, don't watch. Here they just came out punching. Right. This was ring the bell. All right, I just want to finish this so I can sit down and watch the backups go to work. And everybody got to know the Nets backups today because you had an awful lot of time. That first quarter felt like, you know, there's three of them out there. Yeah, hit the one in the middle or try to. And instead, just awful. If you read any social media from the first half, it was all about Chris Middleton. Like, what, Giannis gets a free pass? and then finally the video started making their way. I don't know if it took more time to edit them than normal or whatever, but all of a sudden it's like, hey, here's Durant scoring on Giannis. Here's Durant stopping on a dime and Giannis running past him. Here's Blake Griffin D-ing up Giannis. and now Blake Griffin getting a second life, right? Couple of games of hustle plays, big moments in the starting lineup. Goes for what? You talked about the three-pointer that he hit, but he also finished the game with 7 points and 8 boards plus 12 on the night. And all the hustle plays, all the little things he's doing. It's like Detroit suing for malpractice or a contract that he calling him a fraud as he's running around here in Brooklyn. You know, winning's contagious, infectious. And all of a sudden, you're looking at your Bucks and Budenholzer, is he done? Does Giannis get him shown the door to where we get another, hey, they mutually agreed to part ways line? Because nobody gets fired anymore.
We mutually agreed to part ways. Oh, yeah. This is like when you go on a cooking show and one person spends like 2 hours making this incredible dish that's Mediterranean flavor, and they use some Cajun spices, and they brought in a little bit of Italian flavor, and it took all this care to make this food to make sure it tastes good, and the other side makes instant coffee and wins. Yeah, hey, I just made a cup, warmed up in the microwave. Hey, that's really good coffee. That's better than this thing that took so long to make. Yeah, hey, congratulations, you win. It's so frustrating that the Bucks have spent all this time, and the Nets just go, yeah, we're going to throw three guys out there, and we're going to beat you. How about that? Good luck.
They decided they wanted to play together, and here they are. And guess what? In the regular season, they didn't even play 10 games together.
No,
and you know what's even better? In this game, Harden's in street clothes cheering, and he had more impact on the game than the damn Bucks did.
It's so frustrating. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations, they do apply. So we'll have more on this game coming up. We got the nightcap getting set to tip off in about 5 to 10 minutes from now. But I want to say this, Mike, and I'm completely serious when I say this. Completely serious when I say this. One of the best predictions I had from preseason in the NBA was that Tom Thibodeau would win Coach of the Year. right? I told you it was there for him, right? Because he could cut through the clutter. It's high profile. If he turns the Knicks into a really good team, it's going to happen. And this is before the season started. I gave you Tom Thibodeau, and boom, he was named the NBA's Coach of the Year on Monday. All right, now that's great. You can say, oh, Jason, you're going to sit here and take a victory lap and say, yeah, I told you so about Tom Thibodeau. Hang on.
It's a lesson about grinding, people. It's a lesson about going to work, putting your shoes on, and getting in the mud, the muck, and the mire, and getting after it.
But let me say this, because I'm being completely serious when I say this. Right, Tom, like I told you, he was going to win Coach of the Year. Look, I mean, it's awesome, right? This is just unbelievable, right? I'm going to say you right now, the Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau.
what if this is as good as it gets?
Tom Thibodeau.
Are they going to hate him by mid-season next year?
Nope. Here's the thing. I'm going to say it, and you're going to agree with me.
Oh, boy.
Okay, you ready for this? Okay,
sure.
I mean, I'm serious. I'm going to say it, and you're going to agree with me. All right? The Knicks should fire Tom Thibodeau. They should absolutely fire him. Coach of the Year, yeah, great. No, it's great. Tom Thibodeau, the Knicks should fire him. You ready?
Sure.
What happened this weekend? We found out that Jason Kidd wasn't going to go to the Blazers, even though he was Damian Lillard's handpicked guy.
Is he finally going to be able to take out Vogel? That's what I want to know. That was what my initial reaction. We were on air as that broke, and it's like, wait a minute. Did he finally stage his coup behind the scenes? We just don't have an announcement? But continue your line of reasoning.
So, obviously, we knew the end of the week, last week, that, look, Damian Lillard wanted Jason Kidd to be his head coach. Now, things got really weird. We'll get into it. And so Jason Kidd said, listen, this is too strange of a situation for me, so I am backing out of this. And I'd love to be a head coach, but it's not going to be with the Blazers. Now the Blazers are stuck. Okay, now we'll get to that part of it because, boy, now you talk about a guy that's learning how to be a star. It's Damian Lillard. But here's the thing, right? So we know. Jason Kidd's Damian Lillard's guy. The Knicks need to fire Tom Thibodeau, hire Jason Kidd, and then you'll get Damian Lillard.
Oh, and then he'll force a trade.
Exactly. And then the Knicks get Damian Lillard. How does no one see this? How have the Knicks not done this yet? I mean, really, that's how it happens. Hey, Tom, that's great. Here's your Coach of the Year award, and they hand him the award, and we need your keys. We need your keys to the locker room and the weight room. And yeah, let me have that. Yeah, because we're bringing – don't look that way. I told you to bring Kidd in the other door. You need to bring Kidd in the back so he doesn't see Thibodeau when they're walking around. Hey, sorry, Tom. I know it's awkward, but still. There you go. There you go. You fire Tom. Coach of the Year, he's great. Yeah, but we can get Damian Lillard. Yeah, fire him and bring in Damian Lillard. And then that's good. All of a sudden, the Knicks have their star. We're good to go.
That's pretty clean. You don't even need to have like 9 steps to this.
No,
and a bunch of things fall into place. Very, very easy. You're fired. Here's Jason Kidd. And then you still have to trade for Damian Lillard, right? I mean, because he's got his extension in place.
That's okay.
You have to
trade
for him. I don't know that you have enough assets. We've already been talking about the fact that you need 2 more players.
Yeah, look, I like Julius Randle, but if I could go out and get Damian Lillard, I'll be okay with that. I'm all right with that.
Well, of course you are. You'll give up anybody on that squad
and
send their family along with them.
Oh, of course. That's how I'll even make it happen. Listen, you need a head coach, right? We need Damian Lillard. We're going to hire Jason Kidd. You give us Lillard. We'll give you Tom Thibodeau, and we'll give you Julius Randle. And that deal is done. It's done right away. I've just remade the Knicks.
I love the way the brain works. Like, you know what? We need to get to that next stop. How do we do that? Well, we can get a superstar. How do we do that? We fire our Coach of the Year.
Yes.
And I promised people on Twitter earlier, I said, look, you always have to beware hot take nonsense, but if you want a little more, come listen to us starting at 7 p.m. tonight. I had no idea this was in the holster for you as we jumped once we got past that horrible NBA game that we watched tonight.
I will get him on the air tonight, and I'll say, Tom, I talked about you all season. You are awesome, man. You got to go. I'm sorry. Hey, congratulations on Coach. Yeah, that you're done.
Can you leave the blueprint there for Jason Kidd as to how to get these guys to buy into your kind of thing? Because anything beyond that is going to be a little easier on a day-to-day grind. So, yeah, we'd appreciate that.
It's like after Gene Hackman fires the one coach in Hoosiers, and he says, let's be real friendly here. You know, first of all, you know, my name's – second of all, your coaching days are over. And he walks out, and he goes, I'll leave the basketball. And he drops the basketball. It's like, hey, Tom, that's great. Leave the basketball. All right, great. Thank you. Yeah. All right. I'm your new coach, everybody. I'm Jason Kidd. You know me. Right. And here's our new player. Hey, Damian Lillard comes in, dribbling around, making shots. Oh, it's great. A big laser light show comes in. Oh, we got Lillard. This is the best. Oh, oh that's it. Right, Tom is great. Sorry, Tom. You got to go.
Did anybody tell the players they got traded? Anybody? Nope. Oh, boy.
There we go. That's how it's going to happen right there. Fire top. Great guy. Great coach of the year. Great. Told you it was going to happen. Boom. Fire him. Fire him. Jason Kidd. Damian Lillard. Boom. Just think about that. It's genius if you think about it. It's genius. No one would ever think about it. It's genius.
Oh, it's Machiavellian. Yeah, no, it's definitely a different way of doing business. I don't know how well that works for you long term, but for this one move, genius.
Yeah, I'll worry about tomorrow. Just get me through today. I'll worry about that when it happens.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, there's some huge stories in the National Football League. CBS Sports NFL insider extraordinaire, friend of the show, who's just finishing a book on Gary Gates' life. Now, the greatest lacrosse player ever. Now he's going to coach Syracuse lacrosse. The book will be out sometime next year. It is over 1,500 pages. It is Jason Lockenfora. What's happening, Jay?
Yeah, but I got my work cut out for me. I thought I was working on some box wine, but apparently I'm working on the Gary Gate, I don't know, what's it going to be? That 8-part documentary? I don't even know. Yeah. Once we do the book, we got to turn it. It could be longer than The Last Dance.
It could.
Wow.
At this point, would you say 15,000 pages?
Well,
1,500 either way. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Listen, but here's the thing: you will need the box wine regardless. If you,
just to get through the day, brother.
You'll need. yeah, was that your nickname in college, Box Wine? Is that what they called? Hey, Box Wine.
No, I was not a wine drinker in college whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
It was Mad Dog 40/40 or 2020.
Saw 40
ounces. It was whatever you could get your hands on. yeah, a lot of Beast. I mean, I don't think there was a party
Milwaukee's
in Syracuse
best?
That had a keg of anything other than the Beast that I can remember. Hey.
Peels as well. Peels was big in Syracuse, too, when I was there. I remember that. Peels was big.
Yes, sir.
All right, so speaking of big, let's start. We'll get to Julio Jones in a second because you got some scathing stuff on the Falcons. But the latest drama with Aaron Rodgers.
Fair, but scathing.
It's fair, but scathing, but it is still scathing. I mean, it's fair.
It's warranted. It's fair, do you think it's unwarranted?
No, I
did you find it factually incorrect?
No, I didn't. No, and the spelling was good.
I did catch one typo. I just reread it a minute ago.
Did you really have a
it showed up on my timeline? And I was like, oh, wait, we've got it going where it's supposed to be doing, but okay.
Damn autocorrect.
You know, but it's like you birthed the baby and it's out in the world, and it's like, what are you going to do now? The belly button's in the wrong spot. Eh, whatever.
Yeah. You write this whole thing, and the first thing someone writes back is, you misspelled warrant.
No, there were no comments. I don't think that. I think we might have disabled comments. It's weird you mentioned that because I haven't looked forever at a comment. But I'm like, I caught that mistake, and I was like, let me scroll down and see if they killed me for that mistake. And then I didn't see any comments. So maybe I didn't click on the right thing, or maybe we don't even have comments anymore. I don't know.
Oh, all right. I'm going to look and see where you're rankings
I'm a real authority on
are.
Nothing. Yeah. Except for apparently scathing Falcons columns, which I guess I'm at the head of the class.
That should be on your Twitter profile, authority on nothing. Jason Lockenfora. That's it. Just say right there. All right, well, before we get to the Falcons, let's start with Aaron Rodgers because the latest drama, we know that he's unlikely for Packers minicamp. We saw Mark Murphy say that this whole situation is dividing the fans. They could potentially fine him. This is just getting absolutely insane.
It is what it is, right? I feel like we've had this conversation so many times, and I've been saying the same thing, and I'll say it again. He's told his people since before the draft, and it got out at the draft, that he's done with these dudes. He doesn't want to play for them anymore. He doesn't want to be associated with them. And by them, I mean the people who effectively run the organization. Mark Murphy. I mean, it's not even really duty. Mark Murphy, the board of directors there, the decision makers at the highest level of that franchise, he feels deceived by, and he's done with them, and that's been clear. And he's been in Hawaii, he's been hosting Jeopardy, he's been giving zero indication that he's going to be in Wisconsin anytime soon. And that's going to extend through the entire spring and this off-season program. And then we'll find out how stuck in he is come August and September. Again, he's telling people, they've seen the last of me there. Could that change between now and then? Sure. Could they do something to wet his whistle or build some sort of bridge or find a mechanism of some sort to put this genie back in the bottle for a little while? Maybe. Or does he just relent and say, screw it, I still want to play football. I'm, 38. I don't have that many years left. I'll go do this for another year because the whole plan when they drafted Jordan Love was for me to be out of there by 2022 anyway. So we'll see. You know what I mean? Does he waver? Does it soften? Or does he tell him to go to hell? We'll find out when real stuff starts happening in August.
Go to hell, one of the comments I read under the Falcons article as related to the trade of Julio.
I'm glad somebody can see him. I couldn't, which is probably for the best.
But Julio Jones sent to Tennessee, goes runs with A.J. Brown, but you've got the column up, and I agree 100%. What are you doing with Matt Ryan?
Well, I mean, they've already made their, they've quadrupled down on him at this point. So,
yep.
They're stuck with him for at least another year, maybe two. The problem for them is Matt Ryan is still functional enough, and he's got just enough around him to mess around and have you flirt with 500, which is just going to sort of perpetuate
taunting you.
Your middling disaster because you're going to find yourself still on the road to nowhere with a roster that's now a year older, that's still devoid of additional draft picks and tradable commodities. And now it's going to be like, he's a year older. We didn't really want anything with him last year. We might be stuck with him for another year. Damn, but we're picking 15th. So do we want to trade, two future ones and a two to go get a quarterback who then has even less around him when we could have just taken a quarterback? Because we were trading our best player for pennies on the dollar anyway. And everybody in the league knew that. Julio knew it himself. I mean, it was just a matter of who are they going to get that second-round pick from and how early in June is it going to happen. But it couldn't happen until June because of their own miserable salary cap situation, which they created by overpaying habitually their own players and some dudes from other teams too. And the owner sticking with a coaching staff and a management front office regime that – had put together Frankenstein team after Frankenstein team after Frankenstein team that really only started playing football once the pressure was off. We're 1-7 or 0-6 or 0-5. And so we'll sling it around a little bit and win some games now. I mean, everybody's seen it. It is what it is. But they are such a mishmash of players and philosophies and, there's no easy way out. I would much rather be where the Dolphins were 2 years ago, shedding Cam Wake and shedding Robert Quinn and shedding Ndamukong Suh and stripping it down to the bones to see what's on the other side or what the Browns did a couple of times. That's not a whole lot of fun either, but at least that's a plan, that's a direction, that's a sort of cogent identity. I don't know what the hell the Atlanta Falcons are.
You know, the funny thing is I'm looking through everything right now, your column, and I see that here's a couple of mistakes people are referring to. You mentioned Matt Ryan, it's a picture of Chris Chandler. So that's the first one.
I would have nothing to do with. So I couldn't even. Although I guess I should take one for the team and say that's me, but I still actually just email my copy in like, completely raw. I don't know how to code or people who do my job who actually know what they're doing, they can sort of HTML it themselves or whatever. But me and Prisco, because we're dinosaurs, we just, you know what I mean? Like we write in our little Word perfect documents and then we just email it in and then we don't know. Eventually, mysteriously, it pops up on the internet. Whereas, like, the people like Brinson and Ryan Wilson, you know what I mean? They can write their own copy and splice in their own little cute headlines and pictures and stuff, and then they send it to some other set of eyes to look at it, but ostensibly they know how to actually get it from their laptop to the real world. Pete and I don't know how to do that. Or we probably should by now, because, I mean, he's been there like 20 years and I've been there 10. Maybe it's we choose not to learn and we hide behind this, but that's a reality. I would love to see his top 100 list, what that must look like for the poor schlub who's then got to, like, turn, you know what I mean, like, code everything and space it all out and make it look pretty on a page. Yeah. Are we off the rails enough yet? Or we
no,
can go.
That's great.
You want to talk about the U.S.-Mexico match last night? That was something.
How about that?
I'm picturing you typing, and it's like Creed in The Office when he thinks he's on the internet and he's just on a Word document and he's saying all these things.
No, trust me. I know. I know I'm just on a Word document. I am aware of that much.
All right. Hey, so let's take the flip side of this. Now, as much as you don't like it for the Falcons, how much do you like it for the Titans?
I like it a lot. Look, an ownership group's willing to take on $15.3 million in salary in the middle of June when a lot of people have, you know, pretty much everybody spent their budget and done what they expected to do. I think it's desperately needed for them. I did not like their offseason. I thought it was a bad defense that, at least on paper, could be getting worse. And I felt like they were woefully lacking for some other element on offense that would make them more difficult to defense. When you look at the trajectory of that offensive line, when you look at what happened to their tight end room, and then you look at this as a team a couple years ago that's drafting Corey Davis really high and signing Adam Humphrey, and it's like, okay, well, they got two outside guys and a slot guy, and Jonnu Smith's a really good move tight end, and then a lot of those dudes I just mentioned are gone. But, you know, you flip Corey Davis at whatever – you know, 9 a year into Julio at 15. Yeah, that changes a lot. I still think Derrick Henry is headed for a step back here at some point. Maybe it's not in 2021, but it wouldn't shock me if it is. I don't think that they're truly a Super Bowl contender, but I like their playoff odds a whole lot more now than I did 48 hours ago.
Got to take those extra steps as you can. So any excitement, any other fireworks that we're expecting other than Rodgers not showing up for training camp? These mini camps, the mandatory that might upset anybody's apple cart?
No, I mean, nothing. I mean, this one is right. Been long and drawn out and personal and heated, and we're not even to the middle of June yet. So I think it's probably in its own category. I mean, there's guys disgruntled about the contracts. There's dudes looking for extensions. But generally you show up for these, you know, these 3 days when they can really find you if you don't. And you collect your per diems and you know that after this you're not to be anywhere until July 27th. So, no, I don't think there's anything close to the scale of this Rodgers versus Patrick's thing, versus Packers thing.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Jason Lockenfora. That is at Jason Lockenfora. And, again, the big column on the Falcons is up on CBS Sports. Jay,
scathing.
As always, buddy.
Scathing.
Scathing. That's right.
Scathing but factual with maybe one typo, but that's it.
One typo. Let's be clear.
Buddy, as always, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next
week. My pleasure. Have a wonderful night, gentlemen.
See you, buddy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A few minutes ago, we told you that guy that needs to suck it up until he's traded, because he will get traded this offseason, is Kristaps Porzingis, right? Porzingis, who reports came out today, he's an afterthought, and he's upset that he feels like an afterthought with the Mavericks. You know, boo-hoo. Oh, he cried to get out of New York. He cried so much. I'll tell you who needs to suck it up now are the Packers.
All right, now look, in the story that I've told you 3 months ago, we're going to get a new Aaron Rodgers story every bleeping day until he gets traded. Today, we had a cornucopia of different Aaron Rodgers stories. We had Packers president Mark Murphy say that the Aaron Rodgers situation is dividing the fan base now.
Oh boy.
I mean, really, what does that even mean?
Somebody think of the children.
I mean, what does that even mean? Is dividing?
Are you on team Aaron or are you on team Packers?
This is like team Edward or team Jacob.
Exactly.
Oh no, come on, man. I mean, what?
Dude, that guy was shorter than me.
I mean, what does it mean? It's dividing the fans. So what, they're not going to be Packers fans? That's what's going to happen. They're not going to go. They're going to move out of Green Bay. They're going to give up their season tickets. Really? That's what's happening now. It's dividing the fans. Okay. What do you expect to happen? So we get that story, and then there's the latter day story today that Aaron Rodgers is not going to show up at Packers minicamp. Now, clearly the Packers are in the mode where they can fine him. He is subject to almost $100,000 in fines if he doesn't show up for the entire 3-day camp. Now, it's not known whether or not they're going to fine him yet. Adam Schefter reporting that they have discussed giving Rodgers an excused absence, which would waive the fines. So this is getting to the point now where the Packers are trying to play defense on everything happening. And if I told you that Porzingis has to suck it up, you know who's got to suck it up even more are the Packers, because it doesn't matter whose side you're on in this. If you feel like if you're on team Aaron, or if you're on team Gutekunst, or if you're on team Edward, just keep thinking team Edward and team Jacob. It doesn't matter whose side you're on. Team Mark Murphy, if you're on team Jordan Love, it doesn't matter. The Packers, they need to suck it up and they have to make this trade happen because they pushed for it. Whatever the circumstances around it, they wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers. They did. That's why they drafted Jordan Love. And I'm sure their plan was Rodgers for this year and next year, meaning last year and this year.
Yep.
And then we'll go to Jordan Love. That's going to be our thing. But now it got pushed up because Rodgers didn't like it. Well, you kind of knew he was going to not like it. Did you really think Rodgers was going to go, all right, I guess I'll be somewhere else in the year. Hey, but great. Here, Jordan Love. Here's how to play quarterback, all right? Throw the ball to the guy in the green jersey, okay? Here's my big advice for you today. So they knew this was going to happen. The Packers pushed for this to happen. And they were fully aware that Aaron Rodgers would react the way he did. So now, you know what? Suck it up and trade the guy. It's happening a little bit faster than you wanted it to, but clearly he is done with the team. All reports, Jason Lockenfora told us, Peter King had the report today, Rodgers is still done with the Packers, doesn't want to be there anymore. So you know what? Suck it up and make the trade, because you did this. You put everything in motion when you traded, when you drafted Jordan Love, when you moved up in the first round to get Jordan Love. So now you're the ones that have to fix it. Instead of this whole, hey, we love Aaron, we want to keep him around, we want to find some kind of solution, we want to do this. No. You wanted this. Now it's here. So now stand up, put your big boy pants on, and make the trade because you wanted to move on from. And now it's here for you. And now you don't know? Oh, I don't know. You could get anything you wanted for the guy. You can. You still can. You can get anything you want from the Broncos, from the Raiders, from the Dolphins, from anybody. So make the trade. You want to do it, and it's just, oh, it's not happening on our timeline. You know, I'm sorry. As Dennis Leary would say, life sucks, get a helmet. Okay? So make the trade because it's what you wanted to do. Suck it up and be a big boy franchise and do it.
I say you just ride it out. There's no reason to do it now. I would be curious, turn. Ready for this hot take nonsense? How about we take Aaron Rodgers, because he's made a ton of money in his career. He decides he's going to pay all the fines for his top receivers to hold out.
You guys all stay away. I got you. I got all of it.
I got all of it covered. Hell, you guys want to stay out and enjoy life through the beginning of training camp. I got you then, too. That could be a whole other way of doing business. Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, you know how I stand, and anybody that's listened to the show for more than 5 minutes knows where I stand on this. Rodgers hasn't explicitly said it. He said it through all his intermediaries, allegedly. But he's yet to get in front of a microphone and just say it flat out. I'm not playing for these guys anymore. And you can be as unhappy as you want. Doesn't mean there can't still be, you know, a bridge built to figure this thing out, right? It goes back to draft day. I would have been trying to peddle Jordan Love there if I could, but that didn't happen. So you move forward. But Rodgers, I think, also has to put on his big boy pants to realize that people do have to plan for the future in this game as well. And given your injury history, age, etc., and don't forget, Jordan Love's appearance helps spur on an MVP season. Take that. You do have to recognize that they've got to look out for themselves too, and that it can't just be all about kissing your ass as much as you'd like it to be as the star quarterback, right? Which has happened for any star quarterback from the age of, 13 on. Right, so at some point it turns the other way. But for in this scenario, yeah, I'd be fielding phone calls. I'd be trying to see what all of those teams that you proffered and whomever else wants to see if they can take a shot. But the question is, what truly is the value that comes back if you are going to trade Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know that it's anything less or more this year than it would be next year. Clearly, you're getting him at an all-time high now because he's coming off the MVP. Now, if he has a down year next year, are you really getting as much?
But it's not going to be off an all-time high because he's still 38 years old with an injury history.
But he's coming off the most valuable player award.
That's great. That doesn't trend. That's last year.
He's coming off the MVP.
That's last year.
It doesn't matter. He's not coming off an injury.
But he goes into a new team with a new system with a whole new group of players.
Right.
Do you think it's going to translate immediately one-to-one? Come on now.
He's Aaron bleeping Rodgers, man. If he was coming off an injury,
he's got one Super Bowl.
And he had missed six games, you would say, you can't. What would you want him? He's coming off an injury. But now he's coming off an MVP, and that doesn't count? Of course it counts.
But I'm still going to say that. No, but the injuries are still in his history, and he's still going to be 38 years old. So what's the length here? Like, if you're a team that is ready to win, are you going to how much do you have to mortgage to bring him in, and how much of the nucleus do you have to give up to do that? Right? We've talked about it with Denver. If you're going to have to give up one or two actual assets, actual players that are pivotal to either probably the defensive side of the ball, does that help you in the end game?
You're going to get more now. I mean, you talk about he hasn't missed a game in 3 years. He had one save. 2017, he got hurt.
Remember 2017? 16, that's why they drafted Jordan Love.
He's been 16 games a year every year since 2014.
Okay, good.
All right, so he had the 1 year, and he has had a couple of injuries through his career, but he's been pretty healthy. He's coming off the MVP. If he wins the MVP again this year, you're going to get just as much next year, but he's going to be a year older. Right now at 37, when Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl and he was 67 years old, teams are going to say, yeah, we're okay. We're getting a young spring chicken.
Well,
look
I
at
mean,
this guy.
Look, it is
the
fair.
Guy who's basically coming out of the draft right now.
To be fair, at some point there have been rumors that he's getting on the TB12 bandwagon in terms of health and fitness. You wouldn't know it from looking at those Hawaii pictures, but that's right. What reportedly is going on.
You would change your mind on Aaron Rodgers if he was wearing the TB12
If he was wearing the recovery pants, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, so you would suddenly say, oh, no, wait a minute, Aaron Rodgers, my favorite. You'd be buying Aaron Rodgers jerseys and putting them on.
I have a bottle of champagne if he gets out of Green Bay, let me tell you. But it just goes back to the same thing of at this point, and what teams have done and building without the – obviously, hey, Aaron Rodgers is available to us. What's the cost? You're going to listen. But for the Packers, my gut is they hold firm and just see this thing out. Might be foolhardy, but still he's going to be under contract to them. So eventually they'll be able to pull the trigger if they decide to. And he's got to decide how much he wants to go try another test versus being – the Packer guy forever and actually breaking Bart Starr and Brett Favre's records of 16 seasons. How about that?
I understand all this, but he has said many times he's done.
He hasn't said it.
He said he's done.
No, he just said he didn't like them.
He had to say, I'm done. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back and do it.
I want to hear it from him.
Okay. All right.
I want a James Harden moment.
You don't think he's saving that for, okay, here's the time, here's the trade. All right, now I am absolutely done. I'm not going to be there anymore.
He's already divided the fan base, man.
The fans. Think of the fans. What about
Think of the children. Come on.
But you don't think that was even part of what he was saying with Kenny Mayne? Listen, all this stuff is going on. Here's why.
That was a bunch of psychobabble. That was nothing.
I'm telling you.
You've got to think of the people. What did they do to disrespect? What was really so bad?
He's had this entire plan all along of being able to dole out bits and pieces of why he's not happy. And we've put together the pretty good puzzle, and he's saving the last part for now you're going to trade me. Now, when the Packers realize he's not going to set foot in that door again, and he's not walking through that door in Green Bay, then they're going to trade him, right? And they should trade him in because it's what they want. This is so asinine because this is what we really want. But now we don't want to trade him because now he wants a trade. So
No. It's what they wanted. But now they have to realize what they have in Jordan Love.
It's just crazy that this is exactly what they want, and they're getting it. It's like, here you go. You want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers? Here you go. Here it is served up for you. He doesn't want to be there. He's told you he doesn't want to be there. You can win over the fan base that you're worried about dividing, because apparently they're worried, you know, maybe Mark Murphy is worried the fans are going to all vote him out because, you know, with the public owning the Packers. Everybody's going to show up at a big shareholder meeting going, let's get rid of Murphy and Gutekunst. Everybody say aye. Aye. All right, say nay. All right, you're out. This is what it's exactly what you wanted. Everything is how it's written. It's written down for you. It's a fastball down the middle. And now, well, we don't know that we want to move on. You'd get a big deal for him. You'd get players. You'd get draft picks. You'd get whatever you wanted to right now from a few teams. There would be a bidding war. It would happen. It might take a week or two to get done because you're going to go back and forth, round and round with some teams. But this is it, man. This is it. It's you want it. That's what I can't come back. Is they want this trade, but now we don't know if we want it. It's like, oh.
Tell you what,
God,
just
really?
Build him his own Jeopardy set at training camp, for crying out loud. Good God.
he can host like Packers Here. Jeopardy. He doesn't go on the field. He just hangs out in the locker room.
That's right. You don't even have to practice. Yeah, you get to wear a suit and fans can compete for fabulous prizes.
You know, I'm watching Hacks on HBO Max with Jean Smart. And she plays this aging, incredibly famous and wealthy comedian in Las Vegas. It's a really funny show. And she's so rich that she has her own blackjack dealer that lives in this palatial mansion that just hangs out and waits for her to show up just to play blackjack. So she walks in and like the person is going to work with her goes, she's just here to be your blackjack dealer? Yeah, she's on call whenever I feel like coming down and playing some hands. So I feel like that would be Aaron Rodgers. Hey, I'm just going to hang out. Anybody wants to come in and play Jeopardy? We need three people. We got to do three. We can't get two. Okay, Valdez Scantling, yes, you want to play. All right, great. Devontae, come on, man. Come on, come play. But we need three and I'll play. And then that's how it works. Maybe that would keep him happy. It could.
That might be the thing that transforms it. You know what? I'll get a crack staff here in Los Angeles on it and we'll ship it out. Let's go.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The big news out of the league today, and I'll tell you, there's another star, and I put that in quotes, another personality who's going to wind up being traded this offseason is going to be Kristaps Porzingis. Now, I have two thoughts on this after the report today that comes out that Porzingis often feels like an afterthought to Luka Doncic. You know, the guys don't hang out together, and he's disappointed with how things have turned out in Dallas. Okay, so my first thought is, you know what, dude? Suck it up. Nobody feels bad for you. You complained and moaned and wanted out of New York so badly, and they were going to build the bleeping team around you.
Oh, all his family members?
They were building the team around you.
Yeah.
Everything. They were giving you everything, and you know, I want out. I don't want to be here. Well, you know what? They gave you exactly what you wanted. They traded you to a team with an up-and-coming star, and now you don't like it? Oh, yeah, my heart bleeds for you. Suck it up and play. They were going to give you everything you wanted, and you didn't want it. Oh, yeah. I feel so bad for Kristaps Porzingis, except not at all. Suck it up and go play, and go play better. Go be a guy that they can count on. Go be a guy that's maybe more than a 16-11 guy, because there's about 50 of those guys in the NBA right now. Go suck it up and play better. I have zero sympathy for him.
Cuban last month had said there were some dust-ups and some back and forths in terms of, you know, how they were playing together on the court. Porzingis, after the game, quote, whatever I do, it seems like it's always something. I just try to be as professional as I can. All right, well, I want to ask Rick Carlisle, why is he hanging out at the three-point line all the time? Dude, 7'3". Get down on the low block, damn it. And take advantage of. Look, I love the, hey, peekaboo, there he is flying in for a dunk and all. That's fine. Twice a game. Otherwise, he's been a non-factor. He stands out on the perimeter and is not really a force at all on the block. And it changes the game, right? Because you got Boban. I like Boban. Boban's not the guy to run everything through down low. Big rebounds at times, but not exactly. What's the word I'm looking for? The finesse as well in terms of the offensive skill set. And Luka's playing oftentimes 1.5 on 5, right, with the way these guys are standing around. You get a little bit of that Jordan or LeBron James watching at times. See what I did? I made the comparison. Ooh, go kill me. The fact is they're just waiting for Luka to see what he's going to do next. And for Porzingis, yeah, it happened in New York and it happened here. 13 points, what, 5 boards in this series? It was a virtual non-factor for most of it.
And I'll tell you this. Here's the second part. Oh, it's so awesome. The Knicks are in such a better spot than they ever were with him. It's just so great. I mean,
for
losing to the Hawks the way they did, it's just so awesome that, hey, here's a Knicks win today. Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year. Kristaps Porzingis, I'm an afterthought with the Mavericks. Oh, yeah, boo. The other thing is this. Wow. He's not going to have much longer there because he's going to get traded. Because the Mavericks understand that building the team the way they have is not working. And they're going to tear it down and build a new supporting cast around Luka Doncic, which you kind of have to do. Porzingis is still young enough, and with only a couple of years left on his contract, could another team pick him up and hope? Yeah, and it'll be someone that another team will want. And it doesn't matter if they don't get a lot for him, because it's not like they gave up a lot for him. So it's not like, oh my goodness, the Knicks fleeced Porzingis. They basically gave Porzingis away, and now the Mavericks are going, oh, now we see why you kind of gave him away. I see that. So somebody else will want him, because the guy is really talented, but he can't stay healthy, and clearly he's not a pressure guy. Right. So that's the thing. So they will get rid of him and they will just mainly trade him for nothing because they're going to try to find a way to get money where they can use it to build more around Luka Doncic.
How now, dare you? He played 43 games this year.
That's true. Yeah, that is. Yeah. 43 out of 72.
57 last year.
Yeah.
Missed all of 2018. Yeah. 48 the year before that. Not exactly coming from a position of strength in any kind of whining. Not often I'm going to agree with you, but yeah, it doesn't work. How many times did you watch these series? And look, you picked the Clippers. I picked the Clippers, but you know me, I like chaos. And hi to our AM 570 listeners tonight here in Los Angeles. You know, watching the series, it's like, would you get involved? Would you do something? Just standing around waiting and not really being active to give Luka Doncic any support. I mean, you look at it, Tim Hardaway Jr. was the only guy that on a game-to-game basis seemed to have some level of consistency. And again, I mentioned Boban. You know what you're going to get from him in his minutes. But Porzingis, just a great disappointment. You're expecting that next level to come, and it never does.
Nope. There you go. Congratulations. Good luck. Hey, look, Cuban was like, oh, what a great – he's envisioning championships with the Dodgers and Porzingis. I said, okay, he's talented, but just wait till you need him and see if he's around. And now it's not even that. It's now, okay, he's hurt. Now he's not giving you anything close to what you need out of a 1A guy. If Porzingis is the second best guy on your team, you're not going to win a lot of games. That's not a great team. If he's the third best guy, well, okay, maybe you got something there and you're not counting him for so much, but he's not going to be happy being the third best guy. I mean, I don't know what the guy wants. I really don't.
Get big minutes, right? Even when he is there, you can't get big minutes out of him. On average, for his career, you're looking at 31 minutes a night. So in crunch time, does he have anything left, even if he is available to you? And as we've seen, the answer is decidedly a no.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, this is some kind of story. Suddenly, now, it's not shocking because you thought it was coming, but just the fact that, hey, I'm an afterthought. Dude, you can't stay healthy. You're not the guy, and you are. And they gave you so much money to not be this guy. Oh, it's just amazing. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So if Kristaps Porzingis would have to just suck it up, I mean, and he will until they trade him because they are going to trade him the offseason.
Go backs to the Knicks.
Hey, guys, maybe I was a little too hasty. Man, you know, hey, I kind of like the defensive philosophy of Tom Thibodeau.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.